Hour number two, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones is off. Billy Lanny has slid over. In this hour, we are joined by the one and only Rob Bradford. Bradford is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
McFarland.
There it is.
I got it in like 1:30 in the morning last night.
Oh my God. Well, you were in Atlanta. You were at the All-Star festivities.
I don't know if you know this. I was in Atlanta at the All-Star game. I don't know if you know this. I got in 1:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And I have a very, very complicated relationship. Well, this is my takeaway from the All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah, let's hear it.
With Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. Boy.
What's your Uber rating?
Oh, I have a good. I'm paranoid about that.
Yeah, mine's
not the best. Are you guys paranoid about this?
I was paranoid. Mine, I took a tank one time because I took an Uber home from a beer fest once. And
cleanup charges.
Yeah, no, I didn't throw up, but I think the guy thought that I would. Yeah. And so he was like looking at me in the back. I'm like, can I put the window down? The guy's like, oh,
please do.
So I think that tanked it. But other than that, I'm pretty nice.
I don't put it on don't talk to me mode because I feel like right out of the gate, that's like leading to.
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy? I'm going to give him a bad rating. So I'm like, oh, no. But then you actually have to talk to him,
right.
And you have all kinds of stories. So I have a very conflicted relationship because I don't really want to talk to anybody, but then some of the stories are really like, what? Like, I had one guy who was trying out for the USFL as a receiver.
Nice.
But he just smoked too much of that weed, you know?
Well,
like that
gets all of us.
He's like, back in the day. He could have been the next great Birmingham Stallions wideout.
Normally, you guys are like, oh, it would have been me, but I had, like, the knee injury. This guy's like, would have been me, but, you know, weed.
I just love pot too much.
He was like, because no guys in the NFL are currently smoking weed. So.
No, he was honest. And then anytime you have a guy who has self-published his own science fiction novel, you know, is all, you know.
Do you have a copy in the back seat?
I don't think it's like a hard copy.
It.
Yeah,
it's all up here.
But you know that's a wild ride.
Did you tell him you were a writer?
Unfortunately,
okay,
is this too right, Billy? Is this too right? Or is this chopping it up?
I get it. Right.
Then I had about another nice woman who was 35 or so, I said, "I do mm-hmm. like." And she's like, "Oh, what do you do? You know, that's the thing. What do you do? I'm just driving." Oh, what's? And here's my go-to. What's your dream job?
You ask people what their dream job is?
I do. Yeah, I like to ask that.
Huh? Yeah. What was the answer?
It's like your dream job right now, right?
Well, a guy told me yesterday I'll never get my dream job.
True.
I was like, "Joke's on you. This is it." Right. I'm living it. So it's too bad.
Better than this.
Too bad, pal. This is what it is. But you were in Atlanta. What do you got?
Headphone problems over here? I'm good.
Jones is always complaining about that, too. Maybe somebody should look at that.
Yeah.
Well. somebody should come in.
Logan Griff.
But I said, what's your dream job?
Yeah, yeah. What'd she say?
She's like, I don't know. I've never thought about it. Like, how, when you get to like
35?
Yeah.
Well, listen.
I mean,
some of us are late bloomers.
Well, but the thing is, though, I bet a lot of that, you know, that ends after, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I grew up, my dream job was to play professional baseball.
Yeah.
I got to high school, I'm like, ooh, I am not that good. So that dream was killed right then and there. So then I'm like, all right, what am I shooting for now?
Yeah,
okay,
true.
But can you shoot real low?
And then you can
Give you something. I mean, make up something.
President of the United States? I don't know.
She's like, make it through the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Start somewhere.
So anyway,
it was like it was.
So a good trip overall, it sounds like.
No, it was a good trip. It was a good. I will say this. I heard you guys talk about the All-Star game, about the ratings. And I think what it was, and you said you talk about staying up late. And I think really what this was an example of, which was if you sat and watched the game, you're like, But basically, if you woke up the next day and looked at the clips of the Hank Aaron thing, of the hit off or whatever it was, you were like, that's awesome. And that's how most people are consuming this anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's our world now.
Yeah, there's cool moments in the game. I mean, I think, you know, Skeen Scoobal is a great way to start the game. You know, you have those guys. Shohei Ohtani's in the game. So, like, it was good. I think it was good for baseball.
You take away the home run derby at the end or swing off, whatever you want to call it, and I can't think of anything from the game that, like, that would have stood out.
No.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, you know, I love talking to all these guys, but you walked into that American League clubhouse and like, we're the stars.
Yeah.
You know,
So Jones and I, we did this the other week where we were like looking at this year's lineups, and then we were like, oh man, it used to be a lot better. And then we started pulling up random old lineups.
The Scott Cooper lineup?
Yeah, like Jermaine Dye and like Travis Fryman and some of these guys like starting in the All-Star game, and you're like, oh,
But you forget, right, those guys were like, they were decent players. They were known players.
Well, they're
players.
All starting all-stars. They should be decent. But I'm saying, but 10 years from now, don't you think we'll look back and be like, yeah, Riley Green was really good?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Take that, Riley Green. Send that to Riley Green.
You know, one of the things I love is I do love like the how much these guys want to be there. We talked about Shane Smith, Danvers' own.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who
had a good one-on-one with him about North Shore beef.
Who launched the greatest debate of the All-Star game, which is what's the best North Shore beef?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just so happy to be there. These guys, these
then
first
he drilled time, Suarez.
Right. Well, this, again, so happy
Maybe
to be
there. Maybe too happy to be there.
He ran it in
overexcited.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, but it's Chris Bubich of Kansas City, Zach McKinstry of, like, all these guys are just so happy to be there, which is a great thing. But I don't know if it leads to, like, oh, my goodness, what an All-Star game. But I will say this. The home run derby, I loved. And it was because of
that. Are you talking about the swing off or like
no,
the derby?
No.
Like
the derby.
Oh, the night before. Huh?
Yeah, I like the swing off. Is great. Yeah. Yeah. But the home run derby was because you had these guys who you don't necessarily get to see a ton, and you just hear about how like physically awesome they are. Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz and these guys, and you're like, holy mackerel. James Wood, like, oh my, I don't realize a guy could hit the ball that far. And so I go out to left field. Because I, you know, I want to mingle with a riffraff.
Sure.
And so,
how about that kid almost robbed one?
Well,
kid in left field. Yeah, well, they said he did.
Can we effort him to get on the show? Let's go.
It's a good player.
It's, you know, so I see one guy catch the ball, and everyone's like, yeah, what a catch. Then a little while later, Byron Buxton hits one, and it's literally the next guy over. The guy goes to catch it, and it hits him in the eye. And his eye looked like Rocky in the commercial in Rocky 2.
It exploded?
Yeah. So
fun day at the home run derby?
And then talking about my instincts not being correct, when I go down to interview Byron Buxton, he's like, that was the best experience of my life and everything else. I'm like, oh, yeah, do you realize you hit a guy in the eye?
You can't think of that as a hitter.
What'd he say?
He didn't really
shouldn't have been standing.
There's nowhere to go from that. Like, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault.
Robin Williams him off the ledge.
Thank you, Billy. Exactly. So anyway, it was good.
Joe Ryan obviously has been the number one conversation, not just from you. You sort of started it, but Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, also kind of recruiting him a little bit as well.
So what was your take? So I talked to Joe Ryan, and he does like how cool it would be to be traded by one.
He's like, so exciting. I'm so excited. I do like Minnesota. Yeah.
So, but then the photo that Bregman posts of him, Crochet, and Joe Ryan, and then Joe Ryan doing the glass. I think it was like the eyeballs emoji. Maybe I don't know. Is that what he was doing?
He was doing something.
Yeah,
he was very flirtatious.
It was very And by the way, like tight with Lucas Giolito.
Okay.
Put it this way, it has not gone throughout the Red Sox clubhouse. It's like this is a guy they want. They like Joe Ryan. They like themselves from Joe Ryan.
Will Minnesota trade Joe Ryan?
Nah, I don't think so. And I know that another report came out because
thanks for coming in, Ron.
Yeah, right. We got 50 more minutes with you.
Absolutely.
Took the wind out of the sail real quick.
Are they going to trade him to the Red Sox?
Well, no. Let me just start with first. Will they trade him? Like, is he up for grabs? Because if he is, the Red Sox better be in the front of the line, and they have plenty to offer to get him.
Yeah, but
they're four games out of a wild card spot with teams in front of them. So if you're saying, is Minnesota a seller? They should be. I mean, I know they have 2 weeks until the deadline. They should be a seller. He's very good, and like, you're not just going to give him away for nothing. But are they willing to, in what, 2 years, give him $200 million?
Okay, so this go back to – it lines up with Crochet last year. Same sort of deal, right? So you go back to last trade deadline. The Red Sox tried to get Crochet. A lot of teams tried to get Crochet. The asking price was like, yeah, give us Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and some other people. I mean, this is the way of the world when it comes to these sort of pitchers at the trade deadline. Brendan Gomes of the Dodgers – get ready for the sick brag drop again.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast – and he said, he told me, he's like, in the offseason, that our goal, because they had this shock and awe offseason, it's like, our goal is to get to the trade deadline where we don't need anything because it's 3X for what you're going to have to pay normally. Mm. And when you talk about a guy like Joe Ryan, that's what we're dealing with. We look at the Garrett Crochet deal, and how much they gave up. Well, if they traded for Garrett Crochet at the deadline a few months earlier, it would have been more than that, and that's what you're talking about. So, sorry, man. Sad trombone, but
that
you know,
is disappointing.
Yeah.
Do the Red Sox have the best package to give for Joe Ryan?
No, I mean, I think the Red Sox, you know, they got rid of a lot of guys. I mean, it's not, and they're not, they got rid of a lot of guys. Billy, they're not going to trade Meyer. They're not going to trade Anthony. Christian Campbell now has this contract with him. You know, the password is fine. He's an okay player. They have some decent minor leaguers, but I think that what you have to do is start introducing guys on the major league roster, which I don't know if they're going to do. The Jaron Durans, the Rafaelas, like these sort of guys. What's interesting is if you look at Arizona, let's start playing the name game.
Yes.
Arizona, guy Zach Gallen, right? Right? Zach Gallen, contract year, not having a great year, but
take him.
Boy, I'll take like what he did in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Like he's the type of guy you want out there. The Arizona Diamondbacks are looking for young pitching because they have these guys coming up. So there you go. You have some young pitching. You know, you have the Richard Fitz of the world. If you wanna jump ship on Tanner Houck, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have some pieces there to get a rental, which is probably gonna be the way they go.
If it's not Joe Ryan, who do you think the best starting pitcher that will be traded?
Because
we're going over a long list. There's a handful of guys that are, you know, were at the All-Star game. Their names have at least been kind of mentioned. But again, if you have to give up way more now, maybe these guys end up getting stuck with their teams. But at some point, some of these sellers are going to say, we got to do what's best for our team, and we're not going to just hold out. Like, let's get something now while we can.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. You look at the starters that are traded at the deadline. And Breslow said this to me the other day. This is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline. What they are looking for is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline. Because every team is overvaluing, you're taking a risk, and this is why you hear like guys like Charlie Morton's name come up. Mm-hmm. And everyone, if they got Charlie Morton, everyone would be like, oh, really, that's it? Well, you know, brace yourself, because that's what you might be dealing with. Because you just can't, coming back to the Joe Ryan thing, and I don't really know, I mean, maybe some of the Marlins pitchers, but you know, Cabrera is going to cost too much, and the other guy isn't really producing this year. Like, it's going to be a rental, and people aren't going to be probably happy with what they got. So, sorry. Like, that's what the deadline is. Unless they say, hey, everybody, we pushed the chips to the middle of the table, we traded Devers, we did all this stuff in the offseason, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. But that's not really.
But like, so Breslow's talked about, you know, adding an impact player, right? Player. Because last year they added five players. None of them were impactful.
No. And all of them were traded with guys who were not going to be protected anyway.
So how willing do you think he will be to overpay? Or are they going to say, hey, we're doing well right now and the team's hot as a pistol, but we don't want to sacrifice the future?
I'll come back to it. Not only with the Red Sox at the trade deadline, I remember talking to Mike Hazen when they had the World Series run, and they fell, and he's sitting there in the postseason, and he, of course, is the Arizona Diamondbacks president baseball operations, and he's sitting there in the postseason, and he's like saying, boy, I didn't get the arm. I didn't get the arm. We fell short. And they're in the middle of it. He's kicking himself because I wasn't able to do it, but he said at the same time, it was impossible to do. The asking prices were impossible, and that was the same message that you got last year, especially with guys under control. So it's not what people want to hear, but we have to look at the history of the last couple of years about when you go after these guys, what it's going to cost. And if you want to do the shock and awe, and I don't even know what the shock and awe is anymore. The shock and awe is putting Meyer in a deal. I think they're not going to put
that'd be shocking.
Deal.
Right. Yeah. I don't think either one of those guys is getting traded. Christian Campbell, we've had callers bring up and people – I wouldn't do it, probably. I mean, not that he's untradeable, but I just think he was rookie of the month, and then clearly kind of fell apart.
You're selling low on him.
You are really selling low, and you do have him on that what I think could be a team-friendly deal. He does strike me as the kind of player that you could trade, then 2 years you're like, oh, yeah, why'd you trade him? Like, he's killing it somewhere else.
Yeah, but you say a team-friendly deal, but is it?
Well, if he's good.
Yeah, if he's good, what if he's not? Well, I mean, if it's not, then and that's what I think teams look at is like, yeah, you had that good first month. Yeah.
Do they regret that deal at all?
No, I don't think so because you look not yet. Yeah. You can't say that yet because it's the same thing we have the conversation when they signed the extensions with Bayo and Rafaela. everyone was like, why did you do that?
No, I was one of those guys. I did.
Yeah,
I was like, what are you doing these guys?
That was quick.
Now they're good. Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, you're geniuses. So good for you. But so I think it's just way too early. But I think if you're going to trade Campbell, teams, it's too risky for a team to say this is the centerpiece of the trade where you have a guy who had 1 year professional excellence, 1 year of professional experience, and then he's good for a month, and then he's really bad, and now he's in AAA just doing okay. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's going to be bad, but that's a pretty big risk. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that, you know, I do think that they are more motivated this trade deadline than we have seen in years. That is the one thing that I can say. Like, people say, oh, buyers are selling. No. Well, when you trade Rafael Devers, when you did, like, you better be buyers.
For sure. But then you also can't be 2 weeks from now, add nothing, and be like, wow, the asking prices were high.
No.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to be like, Danny, oh, they were?
The Danny Ainge method. Yeah, we were in on everybody.
We got
nobody.
Not good enough. Not this year.
Right. I mean, but you look at a guy like their last – sort of trade deadline where they like, oh my goodness, they look at what they did. Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yeah, 21. This is the only time they had a winning record in the second half.
But remember about Kyle Schwarber.
He was hurt.
Like, they got him on a bargain basement. And
they were going to make him a first baseman. And they wanted,
right.
You know,
and
I mean,
that's the other thing, Billy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll teach him first.
He's willing to do it.
We'll teach him first. It's like, oh, think about that. How we forget that. That, like, he hadn't even played first. Oh, we'll just take
we'll make him a first baseman.
And then, like, I don't know if you have the clip, like, me talking to Chris Sale, but Chris Sale was talking about 2018 when they put the rings on the table. And they put, when I came to Boston, they put the rings on the table. And they said, hey, listen, we want to win more of these, but it's up to you. And if you do your job, then we'll add. And sure enough, in 2018, you have Steve Pearce early on and Nathan Eovaldi early on. But even then, they needed another start, and you get Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Nathan Eovaldi,
who's killing it
this year, by the way.
I'll take him.
Everyone is screaming and yelling about Joe Ryan. Let's remember, even Dave Dombrowski couldn't get that guy.
Right.
So that's the dangerous part of it.
We had that Dombrowski cut we used to always play where they were asking him about the deadline, how we didn't do anything. He goes, well, we did add Cashner. Remember they got Andrew Cashner? We're like, what?
They did.
Andrew Cashner.
But
if they had a similar conversation this year, not saying that they did with like the rings and everything.
Yeah, like,
Cashner already, so it's not like we haven't done something to help our ball club.
It's not like we haven't done something.
We got
something.
Cashner. Lay off. No, but like if you were doing the same thing this year, same kind of conversation, you say, hey, like, you guys got to prove it for us to be buyers. Like, I don't know, winning 10 straight games would be the answer.
Rich, the day after the traded Devers in Seattle, you know, when everyone's like, you know, it's just one of 26 and all
that's
stuff.
Amazing, yeah.
Right? I heard the trade deadline mentioned at least 5 times from players. Like, we have to, like, prove to them that, I mean, and think about that. That was mid-June. They all knew what was at stake, and that's what I mean. They were all motivated to, this was going to be the first checkpoint in terms of, was this a good move? Are you going to buy at the trade deadline? Are you worthy of buying at the trade deadline? And right now, and I know you can compare it to last year, and they were 10 games up at the break, or whatever it was, but it feels like there is no room for interpretation here. There is zero room for interpretation.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, but I will say this. We mentioned Schwarber. You know who this year's Kyle Schwarber could be?
Marcelo Osuna?
Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. Oh, that would be good.
Right?
I'm all, I'm not, all about right? That was a huge miss. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Don't want him.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
I'm just telling you. That's just my reaction. I don't want Chris.
I mean, he threw for the first time yesterday.
Thank God.
He might be ready at the end of August. He has an option.
I'd rather Nathan Eovaldi. If we're gonna do the let's grab an old Red Sox, I'd rather Eovaldi than Sale.
You know, they thought that Nathan Eovaldi was that night that before he signed with Texas, they thought they had him.
Really?
They thought they had Eovaldi coming into this year.
That would have been good.
Well, and, you know, okay, he's up. He's, you know, he's on a 3-year deal. You have a couple. You have that spot.
Yeah.
Like, Bueller will be leaving. You have that spot.
Yeah, that's good. All right, you can wait. If you want to jump in here with a baseball question for Bradford, you can. 617-779-7937. Bradford's in until high noon today. A lot going on. Trade deadline 2 weeks away. What's going to go on with Jaren Duran? We can ask Bradford about Duran's status. But right now, here is Billy Laney with What's Trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox return to action tomorrow afternoon to begin a 6-game road trip with a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Sox against the Cubs' Colin Ray. First pitch tomorrow afternoon is at 2:20. Celtics Summer League schedule continues tonight. The Seas will be taking on the Lakers. Tip-off from Las Vegas is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. The Bruins' regular season schedule was released last night. The Bees will open the season on the road against the Capitals on October 8th, with their home opener the next night against the Blackhawks. Brad Marchand and the Panthers will visit the TD Garden on October 21st, and on February 1st, the Bees will play the Lightning in an outdoor game at Raymond James Stadium as part of the NHL's Stadium Series. And last night, the Revolution fell 5-3 to the Red Bulls in New York. Up next for the Revs, they host Orlando City SC on Saturday night. Lobster Lovers Weekend is back. Visit the 99 Restaurants this Friday through Sunday and order their famous Colossal or Hut-Butted Lobster Roll, and you'll get a free 3-course meal upgrade. This weekend only, you gotta love the Nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI, no Jones today. Billy Lanny has slid over. Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast is here until high noon. You can join us at 617-779-7937. But before we go any further, I do want to thank the New England Revolution, who have once again come through. Another kit.
This guy in his jerseys.
I love jerseys. The Revs know it, and I love the Revs. Tough result last night. Tough result last night for the Revs.
Oh, you're so in the bag for them now.
Of course I am. I mean. This is the, you can see it here, the 96. It's a throwback. That was the first year of the MLS. It's awesome. Do you want to,
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keith, Fashion Police.
All right, Jones obviously isn't here. I'm going to give this, fittingly, a 96. I'm going to scale to 100.
Oh,
Bradford.
Wow.
We go 0 to 100 on these.
Wow. Wow.
I think they're scale. They're pretty badass. Landy, explain it to the listener.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm perfect at that. So, so we got some stripes on the top. We got the Adidas stripes down the sleeve.
Yep.
We got a Revolution in blue with a white banner behind it, and then the bottom is a red color, but it's a what kind of red would you call
it? A red hue?
Yeah, it's got a red hue to it.
It's a red hue.
For us colorblind people, it looks orange.
It says Revolution in like their Revolution font. It's got a 96 on it. What are the people in the Twitch chat think? If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you could see this bad boy. I really do enjoy it. I think it's a very good one.
What's your favorite? Power rank your team jerseys now. I know that
Revs won.
City Connect. That one you're wearing right
now. I do love the Red Sox City Connect.
Did put a fuss up about that City Connect.
I know.
Well, that was not number one.
I think he walked so he could run when it came to this jersey.
No, the New England has, or the Boston teams have good uniforms. They do.
Can I tell you, at the All-Star game, we had a lot of great social media content. Right?
Yes, you did.
But the biggest post, the most viewed post, not even close. I had people coming up to me on the field saying, that crept into my feed. That was so awesome. It was the picture of the Connor Siebold Red Sox jersey I saw.
Nice. Connor Siebold.
Had to have been related to
that
him.
That is a classic.
Yeah, no, I chased him down to get the whole story.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it wasn't that great. No. it was also not Connor Siebold.
Usually the chase is better than the actual kill. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. George down in Texas. And Nick, once again. Oh, there we go. I got it. George, what do you got?
Hey, Rob. It seems to me the last 2-3 years, the bottom's dropped out a little bit post-All-Star break. I'm of a mind that it's a overtaxed bullpen realizing itself in August. And so I'm looking at this year. I don't see the bullpen starting pitcher splits through the All-Star break. But has there been enough from the starters to mitigate that post-All-Star break, or do you think they'll still need something internally? And then as a quick aside, I heard you talking about Eovaldi, the 3-year contract. Is it true the reports that the Red Sox wanted Buehler for longer than 1 year, but Buehler bet on himself, wanted a 1-year deal, then to go back into the market next year? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you about Buehler. All I know is about Eovaldi. I think Eovaldi was their first choice in that spot, and they almost got him, but they gave him that extra year. With the bullpen, if you go back to last year, they were, once again, 10 games over 500. And in case we forget, they went to L.A., and then they went to Colorado. And one of the, and I asked Breslow about this, lessons learned. You go into those series, you didn't have Slayton, you didn't have Martin, you knew that you were, we didn't know that time, you didn't have Kenley in Colorado because of his heart condition, you didn't have the back under your bullpen, and you were relying on Zach Kelly, who took a turn for the worse, and you lost half of those games because you did not do anything to help the bullpen. Like, that's where you have to protect yourself. And I do think, to answer your question, yeah, you have starters going deeper. There's no question about it. I mean, these Crochet complete games. Giolito's playing well. By the way, a little Giolito fun fact.
Oh, another one? We got a lot of Giolito fun facts.
Yeah, I know. I love giving you Giolito
fun facts. A Hollywood family, for God's sake.
Well, you know, as I told Pete Crow Armstrong the other day, yes, his mother acted with Pete Crow Armstrong's mother. Because as
that's
I texted
right, you told me this, yes.
Yeah, his mother was the mother of Little Big League. Giolito was... you know the story that came out about how he prepares for his starts playing MLB The Show, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
And he's like, I don't necessarily love playing it.
It's film work.
But but he got so frustrated with his stamina rating that he contacted MLB The Show to fix it.
I don't think that's that crazy. I feel like that's
because
when the Madden ratings come out.
Yeah.
Players get fired up over
they
that
get
stuff,
real mad. You know?
Their instincts are keen.
Yeah.
Because in the Futures game, I said to this guy, Noah Schultz, who was one of the White Sox top prospects, I'm like, aspirational goals, Lucas Giolito has that kind of cachet where he can change his rating. He's like, actually, I emailed them about me throwing 100. And then actually my teammate, he also emailed them with clips of him throwing.
Oh, my God. Like, EA Sports is going to be like, stop sending us stuff. Like, we got it. We're in charge of this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But so do you think bullpen arm is a bigger need than rotation?
No.
Okay.
No,
I think rotation.
I think because that exact reason. Like, you still need a guy that you can rely on because you don't know what Buehler's going to be. You don't know what Richard Fitz and Dobbins is out now, and you got to protect yourself if one of these guys takes a turn for the worse. But you do need a bullpen arm. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I think you can't just say Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman, yeah, he's great. He's bench pressing 350. Like, great, good for him. But it's you might take a turn for the worse, and you don't have Slayton, and you don't know what Hicks is going to be. Yeah, so I think that it's starter first, that second, and then making sure that your lineup continues to score 15 runs a game third.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Bill in Belchertown. Nick, I think you have to pot him up again. That's not working over here. Bill, what do you got?
Well, the thing I was calling about was Weatherspoon, Tyson Weatherspoon. They drafted him, and the Red Sox never go for pitchers. They got him at the 15th pick, and 9 shortstops were taken ahead of him. So he was really the fifth or fourth pitcher taken, big guy. And if you compare him to Crochet, what I looked up was the chances of a guy coming out of college going right into the pros without a day in the minors. And actually, Crochet has done that, and only few have done that. So why can't the Red Sox take this guy, do the exact same thing, and get him in the rotation? You're looking for an arm, put him there. And last thing is, I'm almost 70 years old. I was in Fenway Park in 1964 when Tony Canigliaro hit the first pitch he saw for his first home run in Fenway Park. I've been a Red Sox fan ever since. And he's the man, Tony C. That's all I got. Thank you.
That's good stuff, Bill. Rack 'em. So they're not going to bring up the college kid
to
be in the rotation this year.
Remember Dermot Feldman?
A lot of good stats, yeah.
Dermot Feldman, remember him?
No.
He was going to be the guy. But I think it was back in 2018 when they were making their runs, and he was like, everyone said, he's the closest to the majors. They draft this kid out of TCU, a reliever, in the third round. Everyone's screaming and yelling, Durbin Feldman's going to help save the bullpen, poor guy.
No. You know who
Chris Sale did it.
Chris Sale never played in the minors?
No, Chris Sale, like, he...
Oh, came up with
that
White
year,
yeah,
the year he was drafted.
John Olerud never played in the minors.
Ooh.
Anything like that. Oh. Although, I think he had, like, a rehab assignment late in his career, but he was one of those two guys. But, no, I wouldn't worry about the draft, necessarily. I love the passion and the Tony C shout-out, but
Can I do random baseball player of the day?
Hell,
like,
yeah.
At some point before I leave?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just...
you want to do one with you in it?
Do you have one on deck?
Yeah. Are you going to pick one, or we're going
to... No, I want you guys to pick one. I want to see if I can do it.
Nick is struggling enough to find one for today. Now you're going to make him find a second
one. I'll do one that...
You know what you should do. You have to do an all-star.
Did you hear yesterday's?
I'll give you an all-star.
I mean, it's not named Scott Cooper.
Did you catch yesterday's, Did you catch yesterday's random player?
No.
You remember it off the top of your head, some of the stats?
No.
No. I'll come up with one.
There's a one-time All-Star. He pitched for the Blue Jays and the Padres and the Cardinals. I remember that.
Blue Jays
We're not doing yesterday's. We're not doing yesterday's guy. It was Woody Williams. The answer is Woody Williams. All right, Jaron Duran. Does he finish the season with the Red Sox?
I think so, but I think that everyone knows that the Padres really love him. I mean, that's the.
Oh my God! Every day there's a new article about how much they love him.
Okay, he said this. This goes back to before last year, and so the wild card is that the GM of the Padres is a much better basketball playing version of Dave Dombrowski, AJ Preller. He is legit. Like he is a good basketball player. He is known throughout baseball as a guy. He basically says he grabs reporters to say, "Do you know where I can play basketball at 6 o'clock in the morning on the road?"
Guy's just a gamer.
He's a gamer, but he's not afraid to make trades.
All right,
and so that's the wild card in all of this. I will say this is that Jaron Duran, and I've had players say this. If they trade Jaron Duran, there's going to be damage control in that clubhouse.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
This isn't Devers.
I don't think it's worth it. They like him. But then the next question would be, long-term, Duran, Anthony, Rafael Abreu, how do you go about that?
I think for this season you can do it, but beyond, you can't. And I don't know if you know, these things have a way of figuring themselves out.
They do. Sadly, someone's getting hurt. But to start next year, you don't want to have one of those guys not in the lineup.
No, they have to make a move.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. And think about it, when it comes to the Devers thing, if they had Devers, you can make the argument Rafaela doesn't do what he's doing. They're tying themselves in the knots trying to figure out where to play guys.
Well, even Roman Anthony's DH'd a bunch of games already.
Yeah. I mean, Roman Anthony has been, if you talk about the most, if you want a power, I love a good power ranking.
Oh, same.
If you want a power rank, the most important things that have allowed them to do what they're doing recently, Roman Anthony is near the top of that list. They had to have a good Roman Anthony because they basically put him and said, go be Rafael Devers. And
second in the order, DH a bunch of games. He's been great.
Yeah. So anyway, with the Jaron Duran thing, I'll come back to it. I know that, as I told you last week, I know that they've introduced him to teams and talks, but they're also not blind to the fact that this would be a serious damage control. And you do that, you take a huge chance. Remember a couple years ago, was it Devin Williams who was traded Milwaukee
to the Yankees? Right?
No. He signed with the or Josh Hader. Milwaukee made his trade. I think it was Josh Hader. I'm sorry. It was Josh Hader
to the Astros.
Yeah. So yeah. Josh Hader got traded. The Brewers are firmly in the playoff contention. They trade him, and then they just hit the skids.
Yeah.
Like that is a very real thing where you're like, what? And remember the last example we have of this. Is Christian Vasquez?
Oh, the team had like a mutiny about it.
Oh, Bogaerts was like sad, not happy. He was super sad.
Which, ironically, they should have traded Bogaerts and not Vasquez, or maybe both.
I mean, they held on to all those guys.
That was wild. Let's go to Dave on the Cape. He joins us next. What's going on, Dave?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
Can I suggest a trade? But you need to give me a minute to explain it.
Yeah, you take two.
Okay, so. Pittsburgh isn't going to let Paul Skenes go, right?
Well, I'm going to let you go. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Give me a minute. Yeah. So they won't be able to pay him in 2 or 3 years because he's going to cost too much money for him.
Well, he's under team control
to the end,
for
like he did with
years,
Mookie.
But okay.
Oh, that long? Well, I was thinking it was shorter, but if you wait like Mookie, you get nothing for him in the long run, you know? So I was thinking trade a couple of our starters, a couple outfielders, and even Christian Campbell and maybe a pitcher to four guys that can start for Pittsburgh, and they would definitely – be a better team, but...
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call.
I love fake trades.
Yeah. I love fake trades. I also love Paul Skenes, but we talked about this the other day. It probably will be like Chris Sale, but you're going to use him for way longer, then trade him with like a year or two left.
You
just make him the highest paid player of all time.
Yeah, you have five more years of Paul Skenes.
You do. They have him till 2030. So they don't need to worry about this
now. There's going to be a lot of Livy Dunn walking the red carpet with Pittsburgh Pirate Paul Skenes.
When Paul Skenes, I love they show him starting the All-Star game, ERA under 2, million strikeouts, 4-8 record. Like he's like lost like 1-0 games. Like he's just, it's insane.
He is one of the guys, though, we talk about the state of baseball and having the player that you need to see. Paul Skenes is that guy, right?
But 100%.
I remember, I almost, in spring training, you hear, Paul Skenes is pitching 2 innings in Bradenton. Well, I'll make the 2-hour drive to go watch him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of guys like that in baseball, But he's definitely one of them.
Definitely. All right, we can continue to take your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll also get a random baseball player for Bradford. Ooh. See how quickly.
By the way, it's National Tattoo Day.
Nice. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Where's my camera?
They're everywhere. Sick brag, bro. Yeah, just hold it up there. This camera's there. Yeah.
We're all tatted up in here. So
are fine. You?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so and Billy. Yeah.
You have a tattoo?
I got two on my back.
You do?
Yeah.
Things I did not.
What do you Billy, think this
you
is?
How many tattoos you have?
I have four of them.
Four?
Yeah. Get in line, Bradford. Oh, wow.
I got like all four of them when I just had, I might have been at like a fresh 18 or 19.
I was going to say, one of mine was at 18.
Mine was
if
like.
You could tell which.
Right. It was funny too because my dad's like, you're never getting a tattoo, never get a tattoo. And then once I turned 18, he stopped caring and I had four within like that 2 year span.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys, you guys have tattoos? No?
I got two.
College Tom. There you go.
Real life. I'm a college grad, Keith. Come on.
That's how people know you.
A lot of money.
It's how people know you. It's
going to
be your name. 10 years from now, you're going to be college Tom.
Better than Gambling Tom.
It is better. Yeah, well,
what do you got? Gambling Tom's good. I got a cross on my ribs, and I got a shield in the back of my calf for my grandparents.
Ribs.
There you go.
Well, I just
rib, that one had to hurt.
Yeah, it was the first one of 18.
I just want everyone to celebrate.
I got the pain out of the way early.
It's not every day.
You know what they do now? These guys get knocked out now. There's like a whole story. Anthony Richardson, a couple years ago, the quarterback for the Colts, he got like his entire back tattooed, but he like got like knocked out.
Oh, yeah. That's Jared insane. Durant did that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That doesn't count.
It shouldn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh, it
you
hurt.
Need to be awake for it.
Doing this, like, it hurt.
Oh, of course.
You know
yeah,
how
you got it in a weird spot. Like, or right up, as in, right like, up in the sensitive spot.
How
yeah,
I would describe it as, after a little while, it's like somebody's poking a sunburn.
Yeah,
it's
yes,
like, that's right. Probably the best way I can describe
excellent
what it's
analogy.
Like to get a tattoo.
Yeah. Sorry, please stop. Yeah. All right, anyway, we'll do random player and more of your phone calls. Bradford until noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe. Jones is off. Lanny is in. Rob Bradford for a few more minutes. Baseball is a boring hour here on WEEI. And before we get to our random player and some more calls here, you think, is there a name or two? So if the Twins aren't trading Joe Ryan, is there a name or two we should keep an eye on for the next couple of weeks that would be realistic for the Red Sox to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the name that has come up, I think, is realistic because people are going to hear it. A guy like Charlie Morton. I do think the Arizona.
He's older than I am. I believe
he
Charlie
is?
I believe Charlie Morton's older than me, which is wild.
He's the greatest to talk
are you,
to.
You're not 40?
Greatest.
Because I think he's 38, 39.
Charlie Morton is 41.
Oh, who's that?
I am also
of?
41. He will be 42, though, before me.
Rich Hill's also available.
Also older than
pitching
me.
Pitching in Omaha right now, 45.
Lefties but, go forever.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The but the Arizona guys intrigue me because, again, they want – I think that there might be a fit. They're talking about rentals. I would shy away from the Marlins guys.
Text line wants to know
Noel
about
Alcantara?
Mitch. Oh,
no, Alcantara.
No, because
he's having a bad year, right?
This year, right?
Change of scenery.
But here's the thing:
does that solve everybody's
problem?
Do you
want to do that though? I mean, do you want to say, hey, here's the guy we got. We're gonna fix him.
What about Mitch Keller?
Oh, that's the guy.
That's
the
text
he's
line's
solid.
On Mitch
he's
Keller.
Solid, but right. he's also I think he signed an extension, so you're gonna have him for a while. So you better make sure you like him.
The Playtesi guys,
I would acquire them.
They had a fake trade, and they had Mackenzie Gore from Washington. They gave up a ton though for him.
Yeah, yeah. That would take a ton. I applaud them. I like them personally, but it's their prerogative to be wrong.
Yeah, no, they just did the classic "Who says no?" So
no,
wrong.
There's no
just,
wrong.
They just tossed
they're
that
the
out
best
there.
At that. Though.
They just
want to
know.
That's how they got in the door.
I like a fake trade.
Yeah. They got in the door by doing fake trades. They're the best at it.
Fake trades are fun.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire. He joins us next year on WEEI. What do you got, Dave?
Hey guys. Good afternoon. So I know pitching's our main focus, but a lot, you know, I read a lot about first base maybe, and I'm happy with Romy and Toro, but I keep hearing Josh Naylor's name brought up, and he's on a reasonable contract, and he's having a great year. I like the way he's put together. I can't believe Cleveland got rid of him. So what do you think about that, Rob? Do you think, you know, aside of pitching, that Josh Naylor might be somebody that's going to be available for one, and if he is, would we, you know, make a run at him?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard his name come up, certainly, and he is, like you said, I mean, it's no earth-shattering news. He is a good player, and he's a left-handed hitter, which, you know, you could compliment Romy. The thing is that with a first base position, this is where it gets tricky for me when it comes to what is going to happen, because at some point, we either have to embrace Roman Gonzalez or we don't. Robbie Gonzalez
guy's killing it.
He's insane. It's kind of crazy. If it was just some guy, if it was a guy who was more established, we'd be like, oh my goodness, this guy's numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here and it's not going away. He continues to produce. So is the guy that you're going to get, like Dom Smith tailed off. All due respect, you know.
It was a good run.
Throw one out for Dom Smith,
yeah,
right?
It was
a good run.
Yeah.
But Romy hasn't tailed off at all.
No, could Romy just platoon with Meyer at second and then also play first base? And like,
sure.
There's a lot of at bats there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I would like to see them run out. You're absolutely right, number one. I would like to see them run out Meyer a lot more just to see what he could do.
Same.
Just like the way he plays. Like,
so do I.
I mean,
it's second base seems like the obvious spot now that Bregman's back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no question. But with Naylor, it makes sense. It does make sense. It's just how much you want to give up for that position. And I'll come back to it. You better make sure that the guy that you're getting isn't going to take away at bats for a guy that's producing. And Romy is just so it's such an underplayed conversation about what kind of year this guy is having. Mm. We just Abraham Toro, he's gone the other way.
The bull,
right? Abraham Toro has gone the other way.
That's also good.
But he's fine. Good for him. It's sort of a Dom Smith continuum. But
so you go starting pitcher, relief pitcher, first base. And not that you're going to get all those things, but would that be the order?
Why not?
Yeah, that's the order.
Yeah, why can't we be
selfish? I heard the asking price was so high. I heard they can't go into any of these guys.
I mean, we have to be realistic. And I would love for
I am realistic. I mean, I hung up on the Paul Skeens guy, but everybody else I feel like we can talk about.
I mean, I think that what you have to remember, and I think maybe this paints the picture the best, is that the guy that we applaud, Dave Dombrowski, for being the most aggressive.
Yeah.
He has the Andrew Kasher line. He has Nathan Eovaldi was the best starter that he could get. They got very fortunate that these things are very, very difficult to get. And so you're going to be really, really careful. And usually what happens and is like the asking price is way too high. And I'll come back to it. Whether you want to talk about Dylan Cease a year before or whether you want to talk about last year with Crochet, it was much more than what they ended up giving for Crochet. We can't forget that.
Now, normally this is in the grab bag, but because Rob Bradford is here, let's do a live random.
All right.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, here we go. Bradford and Billy, and for everybody playing at home.
Phones away.
Obviously, phones away.
Shut your monitor off.
Yeah. Right, don't look over here because I have the guy's reference.
Put the keyboard upside down.
All right. This is a two-time All-Star. So a guy that played in the Midsummer Classic. It is not Scott Cooper, although that would fit the criteria.
Yeah.
Also, like Scott Cooper, was an infielder, primarily a shortstop. But played a lot of positions like the modern player would. He played center field, played some left field, played a little bit of first base, but primarily a shortstop. Played for several teams in his major league career. Actually, just three. Sorry. Nationals, Rockies, Rangers. Nationals.
Michael Young?
No.
Ian Desmond.
He got it!
Boom!
Look at that. That's how you play baseball as a boring random player. Pretty good.
Actually obligated to get that right.
That was good. Yeah, three-time silver slugger. Didn't even mention that. 16th in the MVP vote
like
in 2012.
I feel like I didn't allow everyone to enjoy the experience.
No, that's part of it.
That is.
Sorry.
It is.
Sorry, everybody.
We'll have another one. Nick's going to come up with another one. See if he can top his.
Any nicknames?
Yep. Oh, you got
I have one ready to go.
Any nicknames on that guy for the one we just got?
Great question, Bill. Ian Desmond nicknames. Desi? Dez? Or Charon.
Is this the baseball reference nicknames?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like where it has or David Ortiz, the Cookie Monster.
There's like a lot of them that are they call him El Caballo. He's the little pony. All right, we can continue with your Red Sox phone calls as they get set for the second half tomorrow. Bradford, thank you
for
the whole hour. What a thrill.
No, my pleasure. It's so good seeing you guys. It's awesome.
All right, baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com, Odyssey app, everywhere you can get all that stuff. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.